Good morning to one and all. Greetings in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Super Bowl Sunday, right? I'm told. America's pretty concerned about that, but I think we ought to be concerned about our Super Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to see at least a few folks came out this morning and braved the cold weather. And it's a great day to come and chill out a little bit and warm up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So hopefully today we're going to have a good time of fellowship in the Word, and a good time of worship from our hearts, and a good time rejoicing in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us today. So today, if you're able, it's up on the screen, but we're going to sing to start out before we have our invocation.
Not yet, Pastor.
It's not up yet.
No.
Well, we'll have our invocation first. How about that? And then we'll sing. Shall we pray? Let's stand if you're able. Our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your love and your provision for mankind, which was facilitated dynamically and perfectly on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, that because of the love of your Father and the love that you had for people, even sinful people, people that were wicked and transgressors, you came and lovingly laid your life down as a perfect sacrifice, the perfect substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. Lord, for those of us that have been redeemed by your blood, there is nothing like what we've been given with you. We thank you for that wonderful gift. And Lord, so easily our hearts could grow cold on a cold day like this with people. But you still love people. Lord, we need you too, because our world is in needy shape today, like none other times, Lord, where they need you so desperately. Now, Lord, we're thankful that some folks were able to come today. We know there are others that could not. And, Lord, we acknowledge today, too, there are people in our midst that are ill. Some, Lord, are discouraged. Some are maybe sorrowing and grieving. Lord, there could even be people that are angry today about maybe someone's angry today because it's cold and their car wouldn't start. We just don't know, Lord, the condition of the human experience. And yet, Lord, we've all lived it. But we ask today that they would draw near to you because you're the God who can help them in their time of need. So, Lord, we pray today then that your word will be proclaimed and that it will have an impact on the hearers, even those that will be listening to us over the internet today. And we ask, Lord, again that you'd be in our presence and this would be a day that would bring honor and glory to you, because we do acknowledge today, Lord, you indeed are worthy. So we ask those things now as we begin to worship you in the powerful name, the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, are we ready to sing? We are. Greetings to one and all. That's why we're here today, since Jesus came into my heart. That's the whole thing, our salvation and the opportunity to shed it to others. So let's sing it with enthusiasm, shall we, Barb? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. In my soul, for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. What a joy for my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Now we're all warmed up, right? So let's give him honor and praise on the second stanza. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. stop for just a minute here today. How many of you are looking forward to heaven?
Amen.
I know this. Heaven will be a perfect place. There will not be sub-zero temperatures. It will not be too hot. There will be no more flies. It'll be perfection. That's what God wants for us. But let me also tell you this morning, there's no snow and cold weather in hell. And there's no water either, folks. Remember the rich man in Luke 16? He begged for one drop of water for his tongue. Rejoice and praise God for the day he's given us. Here we go on the last stanza. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. Happy is onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul. Just a few items here that we need to observe in our bulletin for the upcoming week. Obviously, because there's been some cancellations today, there will be some things that will back up a little bit in the weeks to come. But hopefully we can catch all these today and give you a little advance warning. First of all, there will not be a service tonight. And as you know, the leadership has kind of determined that it's best when we do have severe and inclement weather that we try to have the service during the daylight hours if we're going to have one. So that was the case today. So tonight's services are canceled. Also, either give me a call or other people, Deb Wheeler, the deacons, trustees, when you might have a question if for some reason you did not get called. I had a couple people mention yesterday they did not, and it's also on the website. So you can always go to fruitland.church, and you'll be able to find that information. Jason, did you have something else? That was it. Okay. So if there's ever a question, that'll give you the answers. But again, we're thankful for everyone that's here this morning. There is a ladies' Bible study scheduled for the 20th of February. There should be a men's Bible study coming online at some point here in the relatively near future. Denny is the point man on that. But hopefully we'll be able to get our programs reestablished here as time goes on. Wilton Bible study is February 18th. At 6 p.m. It is held in the basement of the Presbyterian Church. And so if you have any questions about that, you can call myself on that or Mike Riker. He's teaching it now. And he's a man. He and his wife have been here. He's a guy that's really been growing in the Lord. And God allowed me to lead and facilitate that study up there for a year and a half or so. And Mike is taking that on. I'm so excited about that. But Kim and I have faithfully committed to attend that, and we're excited about what God's doing in the Wilton area and what he will do through this study. There will be ballots that go out next Sunday for you to fill in for our annual elections here at Fruitland. Our annual business meeting is held the second Wednesday of March, again, contingent upon a weather event. And it is open to everyone. If you're visiting here at Fruitland and you'd say, I'd like to know a little more about how those folks operate, well, you're welcome to come to those meetings and see how that's done. And so there'll be an opportunity to place people in positions for the upcoming year should the Lord tarry. Also, on the back table, you'll find my booklet from the Refresh Conference. And we thank Kim and I thank you for allowing us to go to that for a few days of refreshment. And I'm glad to talk with you about that, but that booklet is back there if you'd like to look at some of the teaching that Kim and I sat under, and it'll be beneficial for you as well. Also today is the second half of our Sanctity of Life Sunday. We didn't get finished on the first one, so there are baby bottles yet if you would like to give to pregnancy resources, and those are also found on the back table. You'll also notice that the sign is off the door because Governor Reynolds, as of today, has lifted the mask mandate. Let me just say this. God gives us free will, but make wise choices. But also, always consider others. Always consider others and the cause of Christ with what you do. So We've taken that sign down, but that doesn't mean that we don't need to be responsible as God leads us, okay? But that is the case as of today. I think I've got everything here that I said I was going to talk about. You'll see the thought for the week. Are there any other things we need to bring forth this morning so that we're aware of? I still see some more people coming, and praise God. And I forgot to pray for people yet on their way. Jane?
Sorry we're late.
I'm sorry, Jane.
I'm sorry we're a little late.
Well, you don't need to apologize to me, Jane. That's between you and the Lord. So we'll leave that at that for this morning. Well, at this time then, and hopefully we'll see our choir instituted again soon, and as God wills, but we leave that under, again, the discretion. Jeff's our choir director, and we'll see what God may have for that also coming up if things continue to proceed as they have been. But at this time, we're going to consider now a little time of meditation as we go to our worship service, and also this is an opportunity to contemplate or digest our giving before the Lord today. That opportunity is available. Fruitland Baptist Church, I believe, is a worthy place to give to the work of the Lord. And this is a place that you can be involved personally. And so there are plates there in the back. We don't pass at this time offering during this COVID situation. So with that in mind, I'm going to pray at this time. And then Barb's going to play. And we'll take a few moments here to turn our hearts toward the Lord. And then I believe Jeff has a special for us today. So shall we pray together? Our Father, thank you once again for your steadfastness and love, your immutability, the fact, Lord, that you never change. What you have told us today will be good for all eternity. And you have shown yourself in the past, and you have fulfilled many of the things that you've promised. And we know on that basis, Lord, that you'll fulfill and do everything as you have said, even yet to come. So we thank you today that we have that solid rock upon which to be grounded, and for your love for us. Now today, Lord, as we consider again what you command us in Scripture, as we sieve through those things, we yet understand that your grace prevails. But we thank you, Lord, that you have given us your guidelines, and giving is one of those. And you've laid out a lot of tough meat for us to chew on about that, always governed by your grace. So, Lord, today, and we don't have a message on that every week, but occasionally, but it's there for all of us in the Bible to consider. So now, Lord, I pray today that you'll bless both the gift and the giver, and we acknowledge today, Lord, all this came from your gracious and mighty loving hand. Now, Lord, we invite you to this service. We know where two or more are gathered, there you are with us. And, Lord, I pray that your presence here today will not be a disappointment to you from the hearts, Lord, of the folks here at Fruitland Baptist. Lord, we continue to pray for our community, for our outreach here. We pray, Lord, that this community known as Fruitland, Southern Muscatine, and yet, Lord, we reach people from all around the area, but we pray that we would be a dynamic and vibrant work. It's your church, Lord. It's yours to build, but you give us the responsibility to work in your garden. And so, Lord, help us to be seed planters, cultivators, harvesters, whatever position, Lord, you have used us or will use us in. And, Lord, we're going to give you the praise and glory in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jeff Hendricks has willingly volunteered today to bring us a special. We're thankful for Jeff being here today and willing to do that.
Well, this was going to be another learning session with Autumn. It's been 2 weeks now. We've been trying to get that new one, and so that'll get moved back to next week again now probably because she didn't want to get the kids out in the cold today. So I keep an old one in my Bible. So just sort of bear with me as my style of playing again. There we go. And now I think it's all right. Okay. In a ball there is a flower, in a seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring now waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Something God alone can see.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, Jeff, you've kind of learned some things like I have over the years. Always be prepared. That's the Boy Scout motto, wasn't it? But yeah, praise God. But you know what it is? It's good to have something ready. You never know when we may need to what? Have an opportunity to minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, welcome to our services this morning. We're glad for everyone that's here today. And, it won't be long, and we'll be swatting flies, and I can just hear it already. It's so hot, I can't take it. So... So bottle up a little of this for summer, and don't forget where it came from, right? But anyway, unfortunately, you know, the human life and the human response is that we're never very satisfied, are we? But God has a reason for this kind of weather, and in His ordination, there's a lot of critters and bugs and other types of things that God knocks out in this type of thing that keeps His system operating, and so we faithfully trust Him for the outcome of all those things. Yes, Ginger.
I had a big fat robin sitting on my porch this morning.
You did? That's a really... I saw a beautiful cardinal this morning when I was looking out the window. Yeah. Well, you know, that's a sign of what?
Spring!
There you go.
I'm ready
for it. That's a possibility too, Dean. And the groundhog, right? I always kind of hope he bites those people when they mess with him over there in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. But anyway, 6 more weeks, we can handle that, folks. We can handle that. You know, again, I don't want to get off the track here this morning, but for me, in my lifetime, 60 or 79 was the bad one. Around this, if you weren't from around this area, that was a rough winter, and this isn't anything even close to that yet. But I heard 59. Of course, 59, I wasn't old enough to do anything out in the snow. But, 79 was a rough one. So we're blessed. It's good, and it'll be fine. You'll see. It won't be long, and we'll be back where we need to be. Anyway, this morning, we're going to continue on with our Sanctity of Life message, which I wasn't able to complete. Oh, I was going to say, Kim and I did endeavor to come home. We had a wonderful time at the conference. Didn't you, Kim? We did. Yeah, we really did. And we enjoyed seeing Bethany and Wes, too, a little bit late in the evenings when we got back. But we did head home on Thursday afternoon, but we got as far as Colfax. I'd ordered a part for my 656, and we stopped to get it. And, of course, we saw signs, and we saw a lot of traffic backing up. But we were about an hour after the big pileup at Newton. So Highway 30 was closed and with wrecks, and Highway 92, if we went down that way, was not in too good a shape, we heard. So we turned around, spent another night with Bethany and Wes, and got up about 5 o'clock and ventured out. And I think we passed through up there at Newton by the wreck. I was gripping the wheel and watching, but Kim said it was a lot of carnage, that there was a lot. And there's over 100 semis in the ditch, probably between Colfax and Iowa City. A lot of vehicles. Quite a mess. But anyway, we got back about, 10 o'clock. It took us 4.5 hours to get back from Des Moines. But anyway, we're thankful to God, and we had a good, refreshing time. I just want to say this. Some of you remember Dr. Damakos, Dr. Bob. And he had one of the workshops, but Dr. Bob is failing. His health is very bad. And I cried through the whole thing. But he shared about his years, how God had worked in his life from when he was saved. And that was quite a thing. And, he told me, I walked him out to his car, cleaned the snow off, and he could barely get around. But he said, I'll probably be seeing in heaven next, John. So anyway, I was glad at least for that. But the whole thing was very good. It was good speaking and very encouraging. And I do think, as many of the people I talked with, God's doing a little moving in our day, folks. There is a bit of a revival. So don't get too negative on what God might do in our time. Anyway, today, and man became a living soul. You remember in that first message, the basis of all this is that God loves people. And God endorses life, but Satan hates life because God created real life in people, and he's out to do everything he can to destroy it. So before we go on any further, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get down the road on the completion of this message. Our primary text this morning will be found in Exodus chapter 1, okay? Exodus chapter 1. Father, I pray you'll bless the speaking today, and Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to be alive and active in the hearts of all of us here today, including myself. Lord, we live in a day that people have fallen away. They've forgotten you to a great extent. We know from your word, Lord, there are many examples. I'll show just a few quickly this morning, but when people get into that position, there's going to be some big things that happen. Some things are going to be good that happen. Some people are going to be awakened by the Holy Spirit through the Word. And others, Lord, are going to reject you in their heart, like Pharaoh, will get harder and harder, and you'll even cause them to get a harder heart. But I just pray this today, Lord, that there wouldn't be a soul in this room today that wouldn't have a heart that is pliable to you, whether they be a child of yours or not. But realize this today, Lord, that your grace is yet manifested to all people. And let me just say this today, Lord, if there would happen to be someone in this room this morning that has never come into a personal relationship with you, if they are called today by your Spirit, don't walk but run to you today, Lord Jesus. And Larry and I were just talking about that before the service. Our salvation is all your work. It's called the doctrine of irresistible grace, and when we know we need to be saved, there's nothing will stop that, Lord. And so, again, we ask that you would work in our hearts here today. Lord, forgive us as a nation and maybe even personally for our errors and our sin, Lord. And those are many. And one of those areas has to do with the sanctity of life. Both unborn children, people of all ages, and also the elderly, Lord, and how we've handled ourselves. It's just by your very grace that you haven't dealt with us harshly, more so than what we've seen, Lord. But I pray this world would turn to you. Now, Lord, today we pray for the other pulpits that are faithfully upholding your word. We thank you for the Refresh Conference. And, Lord, we know the ministry can be a rough place, but I want to thank you today, Lord, for Fruitland Baptist Church. What a great time it's been down here, Lord. And I pray that we'll be given many more days, that this is dress rehearsal for heaven, what we're going through today and every other day that we come to with joy. Now, Lord, you know the trouble here, and it's me, and my troubles, my sin, my lack of many things, Lord. So I'm going to turn it over to you now to take control and help this feeble person up here today. And we'll give you the praise and glory in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a quick review on this. The first point, and there was not a handout or up on the PowerPoint, but the first point was while God values all life, human life is especially important to God. That was the first point that we made because God breathed his very life into those that he created in his image. So we have the breath of God that was given directly to our ancestor Adam. Point two, some threats to the endorsement of life in our day, and then a look at a historical account of attack on life and God's preservation through intervention. And we talked there again about what I just mentioned a few minutes ago, that Satan hates life. And we looked at two specific things, the evolutionary teachings that we have had that are prevalent in our day, and have been at different times throughout history, which is an anti-God, anti-biblical basis for humanity, and it's endorsed by Satan, and don't you ever forget that, folks. God created the heavens and the earth. He created this earth and the things in it in a literal 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. That's the account of history, and my friends, be engaged in that as you study. You know, evolution, it requires more faith to believe what they can't even pinpoint for accuracy on anything than does just simply believing what God says is true, his objective truth. It's his word. Take him at his word. I'll tell you what, folks, I've looked at it in my life. His word's rock solid. You're not gonna tinker with it. Satan's tried throughout all these ages. It'll never happen, folks. His word's settled in heaven, and it'll stand the test of time. So that should bring us to point three, correct? Point three, and that's where we're going to begin today, because we're going to look at one of the biblical accounts of Satan's attacks on life, and we're going to see the response to that. But before I go into the text this morning, which is found, and point three is this, a biblical account of Satan in action, but overcome in the power of God. Okay, a biblical account of Satan in action, but overcome in the power of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. How's your memory? Well, I'll start out to answer that. My memory, and you know that already, is not as sharp as it once was. And I think that does have a factor in our maturing in life, in years, and in age. There's times, in fact, I ran into Jack Jackson from People's Baptist Church at Batavia, an old friend of mine. And Aunt Betty and Uncle Richard used to go over to his church, and we were talking about the Fairfield Church, and neither one of us up there at Faith for that whole day could come up with a former pastor that was down at Faith Baptist at Fairfield. His name was Paul Vaughn, and it took me a day to come up with that. He's long departed into eternity. I'm certain he's in the presence of the Lord. But Jack Jackson, who's probably 5 to 8 years older than Kim and I are somewhere, he could not think of it either. And we nudged each other when we saw each other during the day, and it's just not there anymore, Jack, and we laughed about that quite a bit. But how many of you can admit you have trouble with memory? Sometimes. Absolutely. And you know something? Sometimes we cause our own troubles about memory too, because we do need to exercise our memory. But let me just say this, folks. People in general have a hard time remembering God. I challenge you today to state some facts that you'll never lose in your memory. Well, there's a special date, falls in August, and I hope I'm right on this. August 20, ooh, I got a look from Kimmy. August 26th, 1978, that's the day Kim and I got yoked up together, got married. That's a date, folks, you shouldn't forget. Your birthday, well, we'll see about that. But, you know, and I'm sensitive. I know there's some here. Excuse me. You know, that's a tough thing that have maybe lost their mate here recently. But there's certain dates in history you shouldn't forget. You shouldn't forget, and it isn't imperative. Many of us can't lay the certain date that we were saved, but some of us can. And we had some speakers at Faith that could remember to the day and the hour when they received Jesus Christ. We heard that, didn't we, Kim? I know when I did, it was when I was in first grade and I was 7 years old, and it was in the winter on a day about like this, and you've heard my testimony before. I wasn't doing what I should have been, which you're saying, yeah, that's you, John. You know, I was not in school because I was faking being sick. And my mom confronted, I'm sure I'm the only one that ever did that, right? No. Anyway, that's the day Christ opened my heart to him. And I'd heard some preaching on hell, and I trusted him. Now, that doesn't mean, as you know, that I've always lived for him as I should have, because I haven't. But I'm sorry about that, Lord, but I thank him for what he's done. But memory, it's important. But folks, isn't it easy to forget about God and what he does? Now, there might be some debate on this. Some of you might get mad at me. But I do believe that the United States of America is a country that was founded on biblical principles. But I don't necessarily believe that it's always been a Christian nation. However, those principles and the fact that, again, God was much more and his ways was much more in the central focus of our culture meant that many people did what? Even though they may not have been born-again believers. By the way, I'm going to shock you with something else. I think there might be more born-again believers in some of our Bible-teaching and believing churches today than there has been in recent history. What I mean by that, you've heard me preach on this before, I think there's been a lot of people that have not truly been born again that have been polishing the pews. And boy, you know, I'll tell you today, if you are not certain about your salvation, today's the day to get it right. I'd love to visit with you about that. But what I think is again, that America has forgotten God. And situations that are borne out about what we're going to look at in Scripture today lend credence to that as well, that even a pagan, heathen culture can have aspirations toward God but can forget that. And I believe what I'm going to share with us today is another indication of God's working where we're at today in our time, because as a nation, we have fallen away from the principles of God. And I will even say that that's been a tendency in the born-again community. We've forgotten, and it's easy to do. Well, remember this, I've got a few things. Today we're going to see an example of that in Exodus 1. But also understand what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1. Remember what he said? In the last days, perilous times shall come. I need to look that up because fierce. I'm going to look at you, mine. You don't have to go there. It's a note that I wrote down years ago. 2 Timothy 3:1. Because I'm forgetting. And that's why you write things down. By the way, you remember my methods for that. 3x5s and a pen. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Furious and fierce. That's what perilous means in that rendition there in the Greek. Furious and fierce. Also, you remember Daniel. God told Daniel in chapter 2:21. And I'm just going to paraphrase. He changes the times and the seasons. He sets kings up. He removes them. You go right down the line there. Things change. So that brings us today to Exodus chapter 1, where our text is. And we find the same thing there. Now let me jog your memories a little bit. You tell me what was going on in Egypt at this time and what had taken place about 400 years before that. There was this young man whose his brothers didn't like him too much, his half-brothers to be, a guy named Joseph. And remember what happened? They wanted to do away with him, but older brother Reuben said, don't kill him, but we're going to throw him in a pit. And just so happened, it didn't just so happen, but a caravan came along of traders, and what'd they do with old Joseph? They sold him into the caravan, and he ends up in Egypt. And you can read about that whole story in the book of Genesis. But you know what? There was a dynamic thing that God used Joseph for there in Egypt. By the way, Egypt is a what, or was, and still is nominally a what? It's a pagan culture, a heathen nation, unbelievers. They are not followers of the God of the Bible, nominally, and they weren't in that day as well. But you know what? Because Joseph came and had a dynamic work done by God through him there in Egypt, and remember what that dynamic thing was? There were several things, but the main one was what? God showed him to do what? To start a grain reserve. And Joseph kept Egypt alive during a seven-year famine by God's providence, okay? So, obviously, the people in Egypt thought, what about Joseph? Yeah, he's all right. And you remember how high he got? I'm giving you a clue here. After all that, he was second in command in Egypt. So you know what? The God of the Bible, the Hebrew God, had a significant presence in Egypt. It doesn't mean that the Egyptians adapted to him, although I believe there might have been some that were saved by faith, again, in the God of the Bible, the God of the Hebrews. But the fact of the matter is, for at least a while, that legacy continued, right? But what eventually happened? Here's my question I'm asking you in your memories. People that were welcomed because of what they'd done eventually were turned into slaves. They were placed in bondage, again, to prosper the nation of Egypt through their work. And how long were they there? About 430, technically, I think the Bible teaches. You check me on that, but at least 400. And things decline because it says here in our text, and I got to go back one page here. It says, and we'll go down to verse 6. Let's go to verse 5. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. So that's your figure there. 70 Hebrews came there. Joseph was already there, and his dad Jacob and the brothers and the clan all came over. And notice now in verse 6, and Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. In other words, time moved on. Just what I illustrated there. Time is not pleasant to memories. And that's really what's happened in America today, folks. When you disengage people from their roots, you know, Kim and I always say this when we go to any place. We're not like everyone else. Have any of you ever noticed that? We come from a different world. Kim said there was no one else up here at Faith that had a pair of coveralls and two buckle overshoes and a shovel in their car. Why do Kim and I have? Well, Kim doesn't. She uses my coats to cover up with. But why do I carry coveralls, my two buckle overshoes, and a shovel in my car in the winter? You might get stranded. Where do I get that background from? From the farm, because I've been there and done that. And we learn a few things, don't we? And you know, I've always said I'm thankful for my farming roots. I call them my elemental roots. It's my foundation. And you, if you've come from a different background, you'll think differently about things as well. But you understand, when we have had that culture that we've been around, like Egypt was there, probably for a few hundred years, there was a legacy that goes back to Joseph. And that prevailed, but eventually people what? They became disengaged from that and they forgot it. Folks, that's exactly where America is today. Prospered by our educational system, our indoctrination system, that teaches people things that are not true. See, there's a persuasion. And folks, that all comes at the behest of Satan, because Satan hates life. And he hates the life specifically of who? People of faith, of believers, and particularly in the God of the Bible, in Jesus Christ in our day. Okay? So, and the children of Israel, it says, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. One thing is evident here, that at least in certain areas, and I'm not here to say that the Hebrew people stayed totally in tune with God, because I don't think they did. But they kept in tune with him on one thing. Anyone know what that is? Well, look at Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:28. Remember, our whole premise, I know it's been a couple of weeks here, but God endorses life. Genesis 1:28. God told the first man, first woman, Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and learn multiplication. Well, he did say that, but not the multiplication tables. Even though I believe this as well, God's the father of mathematics. The principles for all of our mathematical things that were discovered came right from God's word. But anyway, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The first part of that verse is what I'm getting at today is God said, do what? Procreate life. That's a very basic command. Now again, we're sensitive here. I mean, God has reasons for people, you know, that aren't able to have children, some that are not married, things that, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen, circumstances. But as a rule, God is in favor of there being what? Okay, Matt, we'll leave that there, but he's in favor of life and of life being created abundantly. Because this, again, is a direct drawback to what he did. Not a drawback, but a point back to what he instituted in life. Also, this morning, let's go to 9:7. Genesis 9:7, and of course we know that this is when? Genesis 9:7 is after the flood. Genesis 9:7. So, you know, God gives reminders. We have faulty memory, but God gives us reminders. He does that all the way through his word. Never forget that. Genesis 9:7, and he told Noah and the boys, what? And you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. So there it is. God said, have children. This is what I want you to do. And did the Hebrews do that? Absolutely. Now, of course, Satan's at work in this. Satan hates life. The Egyptians are nominally pagan. They'd forgotten about the God of the Bible and what he did through Joseph. And now what's happened? These people that were once a blessing are now what to them? They're a curse. Because they're saying, you know what? If we get into a jam, they might be able to what? Join with our enemies and defeat us. Because they're in major numbers. Now, I'm just going to throw this out because we don't know, but we can maybe have some pretty good estimates. It could be that the Hebrew people here from that 70 people that came there into Egypt grew to over 5 million people in that 400 years. 5 million is pretty significant. That's more than the population of Iowa, right? Aren't we a little over 3 million? So they were concerned, and notice here in verse 8 it says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which he didn't even know anything about Joseph. He didn't know why these people were here, but he knows this, they're not of us. Remember what we talked about last time? How does Satan propagate trouble and hate in this world? One of the ways is by teaching that what? That we're different races. We're one race, the human race. Different ethnicities, different backgrounds. Don't ever forget that. Satan's still propagating that. Anyway, well, I could say a lot more about that, but somehow I always get behind no matter what I do. So he says to his people in verse 9, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land. Well, what was the target here to start with? We want to intervene in what God's plan is, because that's Satan again, to thwart life. And he says, we want to really what? We want to get rid of them, but not right yet, because we still like them to do our work. We understand where we're at here. But there's going to have to be changes because they're going to overtake us numerically. So the first thing that they tried now to reduce the population, and possibly this worked with older people. They were unable to work anymore and they died from too much rigor. But the thought here of Pharaoh was what? I'll work the tar out of these people and they'll quit having kids. Well, I alluded to this last time. Verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Raamses. Should have said that differently. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And there it is, folks. And I mentioned this briefly before I left off that last time. You know why the birth rate's low in America? Well, the evolutionists and the environmentalists have said, don't have any more kids, but that's not the only reason, folks. It's because people don't work like they used to. And that's another thing. See, he thought working would put them down, but that's not the way it works. Now, you all know me. I'm carrying a little bit of reserve, and I understand where we're all at on that. But I'll tell you what, God wants us to work. And it's not all sedentary work, but he wants us to be active. Because, you know, again, God designed work before the fall of man. He said, dress and keep the Garden of Eden. Work, physical work. I told you also last time that the birth rate in America today is 1.8 per couple. It will not sustain the amount of people that are dying. The only way that the United States has kept its population and grown it is because of immigration, both legal and illegal. And you need to know that today. Okay? But anyway, folks, I also told you that the... And again, we don't have too many young... Oh, we've got a little tender ears back there. She's still under one, right? But the sperm count in American males is the lowest it's been. But it's because of our lifestyle. Well, I think. Okay, that's my opinion. Anyway, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. So that means what? We got to do something drastic now. By the way, I mentioned to you that the rough figures, and I think it's more myself, since 73, put into power in 74, Roe v. Wade, 64.5 million babies have been aborted in America. How do you suppose that would have had a difference? If it would have, I'd like to hear this quick, on our last election. I think it probably had a big impact. I can't say that for sure, but you can speculate what 64 million votes, and some of those might have made a big difference, right? People make a difference for the Lord. Anyway, well, the first thing they're going to try there, verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. In other words, we'll hit them harder. And you remember the accounts of this. In Genesis, what did they make them do? First of all, they supplied the ingredients for the bricks. And then what did they do? And they even gave them straw to put in them. But they ratcheted things up, said, now you're going to even have to gather the straw and make more bricks. And you remember that. You can check that out. So they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Let me tell you something, folks. It didn't work. God endorsed labor, and it's good for our health, and it's good for reproduction. Okay? I won't go any further on that. By the way, Kim and I had a very good... We had one of our favorite seminars was out of the Song of Solomon. And I can't preach on that here with young lives, but... It was really good, wasn't it, Kim? Yeah, read the Song of Solomon sometime. Now, some of you that are under 30, there's some mature themes in that, in the Bible. But it's good for us, folks, to see what God wants, okay? And I'm just mark that down, okay? 15, and the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. Isn't that interesting that the Hebrews believed in midwifery? What... Help, ladies, fill me in on that. Most modern-day births are done by an OBGYN, right? A doctor. But what's a midwife? Many people say a midwife is maybe superior to an MD. Why? They specialize and they've been there and done that. Now, I'm not endorsing either, but this is what the preference was of the Hebrew women. And obviously, under these times of duress, they probably were not providing them with physicians and the things that may have been beneficial. I don't know that, but that's possibly the case. So what's he do? He goes to the people that are closest to the source, because the midwives do what? They help these ladies to birth their children. And so old Pharaoh gets this idea. He says, I'm going to go right to the source on this and do what? I'm going to have these people intervene in this whole system that's going on of reproduction, of life and life-giving, and we're going to shut this down. But notice there's another component of this that's coming. And I told you about old Margaret Sanger, didn't I? Last time? You know what her target was originally with the forerunner of Planned Parenthood? It was to knock out the minorities. In particular, who? The African Americans. By the way, ask some of these folks that are pro-abortion today about that. Yes, she was. They go together, folks. If you're a biblical creationist, you will endorse life. There's a correlation there. Again, if you had time, we could talk all day about this, but it all fits, folks. And what did you tell me it is today, Kim? Lunch. Roast, huh? Roast beast, okay. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. But I can't be eaten overly. Yeah, that's right. So here he goes. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, by the way, this was a different practice, but I believe in our day of having children, this was becoming more common. Kim and I come from the ahi, 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 ahu. I still remember the techniques, Kim. What was that called? Lamaze or natural childbirth?
Yeah, good memory.
I also remember, well, sometimes, Jane. I also remember Kim throwing a cup of ice chips on me. And things got a little tense, but anyway. Well, isn't that what it was, Kim? Ahi, 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 ahu. I was her coach. That's a breathing technique. We still use, Kim and I both use those yet, when we get a Charlie horse. What do I say to you, Kim? Do your breathing. Cleansing breath. Oh, we better stop. Did any of the rest of you go through that era? I don't think it's prevalent anymore, is it? It's not, Kim? Yeah. Anyway, you get the idea about this, the stools. If it be a son, old Pharaoh says, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Now, there's where we're getting in. This is called infanticide, by the way. They were allowing the birth to take place, which is different than our abortion today, except some of it. Partial birth. You're right up there. But how is there a genetic engineering element to this, if you read through this text? He didn't want the girls abolished. Why? Because old Pharaoh was going to do genetic engineering. He wanted the Egyptian males to procreate with the Hebrew females to do what? Well, that also, that was indirectly to block the cross, but there's another reason. Because what he wanted to have happen there is he wanted to create a master race. He wanted the vigor of the Egyptian seed, or of the Israelite seed from the women, to mix with the Egyptian blood. Who else has tried that? Several people through time, but Adolf and folks, it's going on today. Genetic engineering comes right from the pit of hell, folks. Satan. Anyway, verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children, alive. Now here's the thing, folks. We know that Peter told us in Acts 5:29 what? You ought to obey God rather than men. So in other words, when a law comes down that doesn't disobey God's law, we say what? Romans 13, 1 Peter chapter 2, say what? Obey the government. But you see, in this case, this violated this law because even this, though this was pre-law, God always endorsed life. And the Hebrew people knew that. And so they did not take the lives of those little boys. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Now, a lot of Bible scholars have said they God endorsed them to lie. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but let me just say this. If you go back in, or if you go to Exodus 20 and look where it talks about lying there, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I will say this, there may be times, and I want to underscore that, there may be times when it is acceptable to save a life or other things that God has prevailed to lie to the forces of Satan. It is never acceptable, though, to lie to our neighbor. But I don't believe these gals lied here. And I really don't even believe that they bent the truth. They did what God said, what Peter confirmed to us. They obeyed God rather than men. But what they said here was probably the truth. The midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, implying what about the Egyptian women? They're not vigorous. They're fragile. They were probably slow deliverers. For they are lively and are delivered ere, in the King James, or before the midwives come in unto them. That doesn't necessarily mean that's a lie, does it? Could be, though, they slowed down a little bit. But it isn't necessarily a lie. By the way, God never endorses lying. I give us this example. I don't think there are many times that we could ever say that we cannot get out through a situation trusting God without telling a lie. Agree? We don't necessarily have to tell a lie. We just need to do the truth. Okay? Anyway, therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God. See, that's the thing. They respected God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So, Satan tried to strike at life. God preserved life. Now, we know that things ratcheted up from there, and we have 2 minutes left. Tell me what happens in chapter 2. The pressure's cranked up even more. But Moses and his mother, well, his mother bore, help me on her name. Help me, help me, help me. Oh, I should know that right off the top of my head. Help me out on that, someone. It'll come to me, maybe. Nah, it's not right there. It's further on. But Moses' mother birthed him, and what did they do? She hit him. Remember where she hit him? She made an ark, a little vessel, like a boat, out of the bulrushes, daubed it with tar. She put him in the river, in the Nile River. He was out around those plants in the river, which subdued what? Babies make noise.
You wanted Moses' mother's name?
Yeah, I can't remember.
It's like Jochebed?
Jochebed, yep. Yep. She hit him in the river. How did God work in that whole thing? Who ends up finding Moses? By the way, Moses' name means, and I didn't forget that, drawn from the water. And what happens? Pharaoh's daughter. And how does she handle this baby, this little Hebrew? She loves him. See, God intervened. That's the point of this last point I gave you. God intervenes in these things. And what happened? It so happens that she said, go get someone to nurse this child. They went and found Jochebed. Jochebed got paid to raise her son in Pharaoh's house. That's our God, folks. Now, I could get all negative here today about what goes on in our world. There's plenty to be negative about, but I'm not negative, folks. And like I said, those 64.5 million or whatever the number is, those little souls are with Jesus. He's got them under his care. Do I excuse it? Do I promote this? No. But folks, just like with Moses, God makes a way. Just like what was going to happen with Egypt over the Red Sea and the Israelites, God makes a way. God will make a way where there is no way. I'm thinking of Michelle Wheeler when I remember when she sang that as a teenager here. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He'll make that for you and I today. Go ahead and read the story. Was Moses used? You better know it. The bottom line, folks, this was a biblical account, one of many, of Satan in action, but overcome in the power of God. Moses was miraculously saved as an infant. God preserved him to deliver Israel. Read Exodus 2. And Satan's efforts were once again thwarted by God and his people, but yet he's still trying, isn't he? Satan, you're cooked, man. You're defeated, but you're going to try to raise havoc till you're gone. I've said this many times. The war was ended at the cross of Calvary, but the battle rages on. Folks, we're living in a day where Satan's on his last legs. And let me tell you, he's doing his very best to thwart life from many angles. So in conclusion, the Christian community has a message and a mandate to operate and stand for God and for human life. Thank you. Amen. Be assured it will not be a cakewalk. Do we face some opposition? Oh, yeah. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. So get up and get the word out. The worst thing we can do in the day that we live is to what? Just to idly let things go. Folks, there's all kinds of venues to support life. It's not just pregnancy resources. It's us personally. See, it's us planting the seeds with people. It's us taking a stand against Satan and for God and trusting God. And remember, folks, again, we're all sinners here, aren't we, this morning? I pray that we're all sinners saved by grace. And you can be today. And it's this simple. It's by acknowledging your sinfulness and acknowledging your Savior. And what I mean by that is not just acknowledging, but trusting in Him. Believe. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You'll be delivered. God's message to us is not complicated. It's very simple and straightforward. I love you. Yeah, you slipped up. But you know, I loved you enough to send my precious Son, myself in the flesh, the God-man, to die and to pay the price for your sins and rise again for new life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Anyway, remember, though, that God forgives people who have made mistakes. All the aborted babies are under his care in heaven. Satan will never get the victory. If we have been on the wrong side of this, don't let Satan have the victory over you, because God forgives in Christ. He defeated Satan on the cross and in the resurrection over the power of death. Amen. This is a subject, sanctity of life is what I mean here. This is a subject of great importance to God. What about you and I? It ought to be. It's called the sanctity of human life. Amen. Should be on the screen for you today, otherwise in our hymn books, 417. As we dismiss today, this is an old hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. This is a hymn that I could start to cry about, but I'm asking us all today, is it well with your soul? Are you in God's will today? And let me just say this, God's will is determined from His Word. And this is the cardinal thing about that, He wants you to be saved today and in a personal walk with Him. Can you leave this building today and say, it is well with my soul? Because folks, we're sailing into times just like it was in Egypt. It's those days like 2 Timothy chapter 3 says. What did I say? Fierce and furious, right? Perilous. Today we need to stand for our Lord. He stood. He hung on the cross for us, but He stood. He was crucified. Pain in His feet. Spikes that were driven through it. Every breath. He loved us. It can be well with your soul before you pass through those doors today. Won't you come today? I can't save you, but I'm surely glad to talk with you or pray with you and show you from the Scriptures. Let's sing today. When but you know, a guy by the name of Horatio G. Spafford wrote this hymn. He wrote it when he passed over the place in the ocean where he lost his wife and children in a shipwreck. Folks, maybe today some of our lives are a shipwreck. But through Jesus Christ, we can sing this with a genuine heart if we've given it over to Him. Let's sing that chorus. We'll do it a cappella today, Barb. As we close, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. May the Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. Brother Jason, would you close in prayer, please?
Out today.